Our yoga instructor challenged us to find inner peace. I found it faster than anyone. After 4 seconds, I stood up and screamed, "I found Nirvana! I win!" They asked me to leave. I guess they don't respect winning. Bet365 does, though. New customers get $365 in bonus bets just for betting $10. Namaste, losers. Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Let's roll. It's the Wicked Wednesday. This is Sports Rage. I am Gable Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the podcasters, the people above them, and everybody else in between. In the immortal words of Keith Jackson, whoa, Nelly. We've got a lot of stuff going on, a lot of stuff to break down. We'll continue our Super Bowl breakdown and Super Bowl trends and facts. We gave you some interesting numbers yesterday. We have some more stuff to share today. Bill Belichick. The football world is up in arms, or I should say the football media is up in arms, because Bill Belichick is not a first ballot Hall of Famer. And I'd like to go back in time and see how many people were freaking out that Bill Belichick was allegedly cheating at the time. And, you know, you wanted blood. Like, it's amazing to me the short memories people have. Like, everybody's like, oh, this is a disgrace. Whoever did this is, you know, it's an embarrassment. He's not a first ballot Hall of Famer. He cheated. This is the payback. Like, I don't know why this is so difficult for people to understand. Jose Altuve won't get in the first time. Harbaugh, my guy Harbaugh, whatever. The whole, did we take signs and whatever? Like, the Michigan thing wasn't as nefarious as the Patriots. The Patriots flat out used to, like, spy on teams. Like, they would literally, like, you know, send people into practices with cameras, and they would find somehow miraculously to find, you know, get your playbook and stuff like that. Like, point blank, there's no denying it. They did it. It is what it is. Michigan was a little different. Michigan basically watched the film and basically realized the signals. To me, that's not cheating. Right. Like, if you're going to do a bunch of hand signals on the sidelines and stuff, expect people to try to translate it. Michigan did. Michigan got good at figuring out what teams were saying to each other during the games. That's a little different. But look at the hell that, like, Michigan's gone through for this. Right. We've been suspended this. Harbaugh's banned, like, all this type of stuff. Whatever, dude. Harbaugh's going to get into the College Football Hall of Fame. Pro Football Hall of Fame. He needs a Super Bowl, I think. He could win one Super Bowl, he'll get in. But same thing. Like, he'll, you know what I mean? It's just, you paid a price for it. He'll get in. Obviously, Belichick's going to get in. But the short memory is amazing to me. That it wasn't that long ago, guys, that Belichick was suspended. And there was always shady things around him. And if, you know, the fact of the matter is, there's enough people that still vote that remember this. And they're going to say, yeah, whatever. He's obviously a Hall of Famer, and he's obviously going to get in. But, you know. No, not the first time. So I don't really see why everybody is, like, so up in arms and freaked out about that. And the other big story that is just sort of broken, it's been going on, whatever, for a couple of months, but it seems like it's finally real now, that the Milwaukee Bucks and Giannis are done. He's not going to play for them again. He's obviously injured right now. They say the timeline is unknown, which you knew was part of kind of shady to begin with. So does he get traded in the next couple of weeks or in the next week because the trade deadline, et cetera? Maybe. I don't think so. That's just my gut, that it's such a complicated deal and stuff like that. He's hurt. I mean, I kind of think it gets played out, and I think the Bucks kind of know as well. We bite the bullet on this, and we'll get a better deal in the offseason. The offseason teams can deal, right? It's tough now. Like, you know what I mean? No, like, who can, you know, what are you going to do? How do you trade for Giannis now? Like, how, you got to give up so much. It'll devastate your team. Like, it's hard to pull off when you're talking about a player like this, like, as far as the money that he makes and what you got to give up to get him. It's hard to do. Like, there's not many teams that could do it, just point blank. So, in the offseason, like, right before the draft and stuff like that, right? I'm just thinking about a team like the Lakers. Like, the Lakers, Giannis would be perfect for the Lakers, but they got to get rid of LeBron. And I don't think anyone's taking LeBron in the next 3-4 days. But I think in the offseason, LeBron wants out anyways. He can go retire in Cleveland or whatever, retire with the Golden State Warriors or whatever, do one last year with another team, try to win a championship, whatever you want to do. And the Lakers could pair Giannis with Luka and Austin Reeves and have a pretty solid roster. I'm going to throw it out there. We'll bring Ian Cameron in and Cam Stewart. I'll throw to you first, Babano. The team that's most intriguing, I think, for Giannis is the San Antonio Spurs. You pair Wemby with Giannis, nobody will be able to match that in the front court. Like, it'll just be, like, lethal. You keep Stephon Castle. Castle's a stud. You're going to have to trade Dylan Harper, who's going to be a star. So you bite the bullet. Dylan Harper, the rookie kid, he is, like, really good, this kid. He looks the deal and all that. But thing is, if you're the Spurs, as good as Dylan Harper is, he'll never really – like, Dylan Harper would be better on another team anyways, because it's Wembanyama's team. It's Castle's team and stuff. Like, it's not Dylan Harper's team, and it will never be his team. So, and he's a star player in the making. So, if you're the Bucks, you get a star player. Sochan is available as well. They want to get package him up. They have a bunch of draft picks. The San Antonio Spurs could pull this off a battle and really become an NBA front runner to win the championship.
They absolutely could. I don't think there's any question it would be a great fit when you think of they could form basically a Twin Towers, essentially, with Victor Wembanyama and Giannis Antetokounmpo in the front court. And, yeah, being able to match up with that would prove to be very difficult. The only thing I was wondering was, I'm not sure initially San Antonio was high up on Giannis's radar as teams he'd prefer to go to. Maybe it is now with the season they've had, because I've heard Knicks, I've heard Heat, I've heard Timberwolves. You know, those are definitely some teams that are in the mix for Giannis. But
those are teams that the media is saying that, like, everybody's in the mix and everybody wants him.
Yeah.
Right. But that's a good question, though. Like, that's the whole thing. And this is where Giannis is going to be.
I even read something. The Lakers might even be sniffing around.
What about the Raptors?
The Raptors would be perfect for him, to be honest.
Yes. He's a perfect fit for them.
And the Raptors have the players to do it, right? Yeah. They have draft picks. They have players. They could pull it off. And I posted this morning, Cam, if Masai Ujiri was still with the Raptors, this could be a serious thing.
I agree.
They're tight. They're so tight. People don't know it, but, like, Masai Ujiri actually got Giannis's family, helped them get Greek citizenship. Their families are friends in Nigeria. They're lifelong friends. They speak daily type thing. Like, when Masai was still with the Raptors and Giannis, whatever, like, they literally a couple of times a week on the phone. Like, when Giannis would have a problem, or he'd want to talk to somebody, he would call Masai. And there was always, you know, Giannis always even kidded, man, there's a lot of Greek people in Toronto, isn't there? Right?
And there is.
Like, yeah. So, like, and yeah, that was the whole
Greek
thing.
Town, Giannis. No, exactly.
The thing, yeah. It was like, dude, you'll be like a god in Toronto. You'll be like that.
Toronto's perfect, like, for him. God. It's a global city, Gabe.
Greek. You can go to the Danforth and, like, speak Greek to people. You'd love it. Masai, like, the Raptors are sort of an international sort of team.
Yeah.
The city. But Masai's not there anymore.
No.
Yeah.
But you said it, Babano. Because I've heard one thing, too, that he wants to play in Miami. So that's not one.
Yeah, Masai, the problem is, Gabe, Masai and Giannis, very, very tight. Bobby Webster and Giannis, not quite as tight. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm sure they get along. But, yeah, Bobby doesn't have the same juice with him. Yeah. Bobby's like a 35-year-old kid or whatever.
Why the hell would you want to play in Miami? Just that's my opinion. Like, from a winning perspective.
If he really wants to win,
yes,
we'll find out. Right. Like, if he's like, no, I don't want to go to Oklahoma City. I don't want to go to San Antonio. No. Whatever. I mean, I've heard it, too. But the thing is, because there's someone in a New York media, Babano, says that he wants to be a Knick, doesn't mean it's true. Like, take that with the same grain of salt as people in Montreal talking about Sidney Crosby ending his career with Montreal. Like, why would he do
not
that?
Not happening. Yeah.
Why? Because his father got drafted by the Canadiens 50 years ago. Right, because he's a Canadian fan. Like, it's pretty clear. Like, he's not going to be on the Canadiens, guys.
Or Philip Rivers coaching the Bills. Some of these stories suck.
Yeah, that's another one. Like,
who makes this stuff up? You can make this up. It's like the Inquirer. Let's put a story together.
I don't know. I don't know why NFL teams do that. I don't know. I don't know. I don't get that. Why they feel the need to interview 25 people that they know they're, like, not going to give the job to.
Exactly.
Like, why? Like, what's the point
of
interviewing, like, anybody? Like, what's the point of saying, yeah, we're going to interview Philip Rivers? It's like, no, did you really interview for the job? Or did you sit there and talk to him for an hour? Oh, what was it like coming back and playing? So you want to coach someday? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. How's it like coaching high school? Okay. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, what are you going to say to him? It's like, you know, if you really were honest about it, I would tell him, listen, Phil, if you want to be a coach in the NFL, keep doing what you're doing, coach the high school team, but then get a college job. Point blank, I tell him, get a college job. Look at Harbaugh. That's how Harbaugh did it. Right? Harbaugh started at the University of San Diego Toreros. Nobody wanted that job. You know what I mean? It's not even a football school, hardly. Like, but he knew, I need to start somewhere, so I'm going to start here. And did a good job there. Next thing you knew, he got the Stanford job. Did a great job there. Next thing you knew, he was the head coach of the San Francisco 49ers. Next thing you knew, he was the head coach of the Michigan Wolverines. Won a national championship. Now he's the head coach of the Chargers. Yeah. And even Harbaugh can't get the Chargers.
It's impossible. Yeah.
Think about that. Like, even if it was like Staley or one of these coaches, people would be ripping them, right? But even Harbaugh, like, got him the playoffs twice and they just lose right away. Just can't do it. Speaking of losing, the Toronto Maple Leafs lose again.
Oh, that, Gabe, let me tell you something.
Not just the way they're losing. It's not just losing, it's the way that they're losing. Oh, like, you lose to Vegas, you get your ass handed to you by Buffalo. Colorado rolls in and dispatches you early, like, just easily. Poof, little hand, 4-1, get out of my way. It's just, they're pathetic, Gabe.
It's the, like, last straw.
They're gutless.
It's hilarious, Gabe. And I've never seen
Nylander's giving the finger and laughing. Yeah. Like, all right, real funny, buddy. Oh, you're a tough guy. I know.
Yeah. Like, I think the fans, for what they pay, they have the right to boo. The Sabres went in there and kicked their ass. They did it with a backup. Their goalie got hurt, too.
$5,000 for giving the finger. Oh, that'll really show.
It's like throwing a penny in a well. Ooh, that'll big show. Money.
Like, yeah, you should have fired him like $500,000.
So I'm going to be honest with you, Gabe. They make me sick.
The Leafs, like, the league is the one that fined. So people don't know, tuning in. William Nylander of the Leafs, he's injured. He wasn't playing the other night. He's in the press box. The camera goes on him on national television, and he gives the finger to the camera. Very unhockey-like thing to do. Very unprofessional NHL thing to do. He said after, I got an angry text about it right away from them, and like, blah, blah. He got fined $5,000 by the league. Okay, that's the maximum they can fine him for this. So it's a joke. My question, Cam, is, where the hell are the Leafs in this? Why don't the Leafs tell them, like, we're going to fine you for, like, $250,000, $500,000 for this? I know this is where the union would get involved in all this, but, like, I'd be like, dude, we suck. We're insulting our fans. You're giving the finger to them now. Like, they don't deserve that. You know what I mean? It's not like the Leaf fans. It's not the Leaf fans' fault, right? So just, I don't know. I thought, like, they showed that they're just kind of gutless and there's no leader in the organization. Where's Austin Matthews, like the captain, calling him out and saying, that's unacceptable. Our fans pay a lot of money. Like, nobody in the organization. I don't like Shanahan, whatever, you know. I'm not going to say I don't like Brendan Shanahan, but he didn't do a good job. But, like, where, like, if Shanahan was there, like, where's the adult in the room, Cam, to say, you can't do this. And I don't care the league fine you $5,000. We're benching you a game because of this. You can't do that. Like, and it's a big joke, and everyone's laughing about it. And it's like, it just goes to show what a joke they are.
I'm going to tell you, Gabe, I don't know if it's eventually going to happen, but the boos that were raining down that night, and this is a team, your rival, the Buffalo Sabres, who usually kick their ass.
People are going to stop going, Cam.
Oh, that's what I'm saying.
That's going to happen. It's finally happened.
I'm telling you, people are going to stop going. Like, you eventually have to say, you know what? I'm done. I'm not paying for this shit product. I'm not going to go out there, take the family and blow mortgage payments to watch these jackasses not even try.
Especially when you got the Raptors that are good.
Yes.
The Blue Jays sees it as right around the corner.
Dude, like the Sabres embarrassed them in their building. Like, the Sabres are supposed to, like, the Leafs are the joke. The Sabres are like, I watched the game and I got to be honest with you, Gabe, my fandom for the Leafs, like, I'm disgusted watching these guys play. Like, that's one team. Like, I'm very loyal to the Seahawks and everything. The Leafs make me sick. I hate their whole organization from top to bottom, from Treliving to all the guys all the way down. It just doesn't work. Like, you know what I mean, Gabe? Where's the effort?
He's a bad president, too.
Oh, dude, I told you. The deals this guy made in
Why would he get the Toronto Maple Leafs?
Oh, that's another thing. Like, Cabana. Thing, like, Take a look at his track record in Calgary. The guy got fleeced on every deal.
How about a certain Matthew Tkachuk, Jonathan Huberto situation?
Calgary were better without him. They've done better deals without him.
Yep.
I'm going to tell you, Gabe, like you'd hit the nail on the head. This is the first time people are going to start to say, screw it. I'm not going to watch this team play. I'm going to save my money. It's going to happen.
At least in Vancouver, there's a light with the top pick, right? It's terrible, but that's the big debate now. People in Vancouver.
The Leafs draft prospect cupboard is bare.
They got nothing. They got a few prospects.
No, they're
and
done.
All you need to do to look at the Leafs' plight is look at that start to the third period against Buffalo last night. You're basically playing probably your most important period of the season. You're down 3-2 going into the third. Season on the line. It feels like you're almost out of the playoff race if you lose this game because you'd be 8 points back, which they now are. And you're down by a goal in the third. That's where you're supposed to see a response. Backs against the wall. Down by a goal going into the third. What happens? You give up a goal 16 seconds into the third period. It's just that tells you all you need to know about how this team has not been able to clutch up in these moments.
Leaf Nation
for years
will not like this, but I've said it before. I would do it. You have to trade Auston Matthews. I'm telling you, it's almost like you've got to start over. But the thing is, don't trade him for a bunch of draft picks and stuff like that. Superstar for superstar. Fine, wait it out, Cam. Like, you know what I mean? Wait it out until there's a disgruntled dude on another team. And in fact, like, how does Connor McDavid sound? You know what I mean? Like, Connor McDavid wants to be a Leaf. Let's be real. He's going to be a Leaf, I think.
I'll tell you one thing. You're going to have to give Matthews and a hell of a lot more for Connor McDavid.
I don't think Auston Matthews would accept going to Edmonton either.
Yeah.
He'd be like, no, screw this.
Their drafting has sucked. Like honestly, but Banner, you know hockey too. Like, Nyes is good. Like, take a look at the Sabres. Osland, all these guys that they picked up are finally starting to mature. They've actually, like, I look at them and go, wow.
The Leafs are in a bad spot, Cam, moving forward because they don't have young players and they're getting worse. So they're going to be stuck in this weird middle zone.
Yeah.
And they don't have a lot of money to spend. So, and they're almost turning into like the Knicks or something from the past where people don't really want to play for them, to be honest. Like, a lot of players are like, nah, like, no, I don't want to do that. You know what I mean? Like, people that are from Toronto don't want to play for them because they know, right? They know the media. They know the team never wins.
That's why Ryan O'Reilly didn't return. Yeah. He wanted no part of the frenzy.
Ryan O'Reilly had it as trade, no trade, no Canadian teams.
Yeah.
Guy's Canadian.
Yeah. That's
no Canadian.
I love it. I'm going to say this, though, Gabe, and I told you this a long time ago. Just watch a Leaf game. From the music to the announcements to everything, it's like a bad, bad production at the local church. Like, it's embarrassing. You watch other games, and I watch a lot of hockey.
Going through the motions.
Yeah, it's just the whole thing. It's the same thing. Like, what are you doing differently? Like, what? It's the same crappy skits. It's the same stupid songs. It's the same bad product. It just sucks. It's not a good entertainment experience.
You look at the teams in Toronto. You look at the Raptors, and the Raptors might be the funnest team in the NBA.
For sure.
In the sense of not there. I'm not saying they're, you know, they're the funnest to watch where they play defense, but they're the funnest in the sense that
vibes.
They joke around on the bench. They're very, very personable people, right? Like, they're always smiling. Like, they got personality. Like, Brandon Ingram, I swear to God, Brandon Ingram, I never saw that guy. He's like Wilford Brimley. I never saw Brandon Ingram smile once, ever. Like in his really? Life type thing. Like, ever. Like, seriously, if you think about Brandon Ingram, his eyes always looks like he's ultra-baked stone. His eyes, like, little slits for eyes.
Yeah.
Like, he always kind of looks like he's in a bad mood. Like, he's always, like, kind of, like, he's kind of mad. Like,
I love him.
Like, in New Orleans, he never smiled once. Duke, he never smiled. I saw him on the Raptors bench the other day. He was just, like, laughing it up and, like, you never see that. Like, and I don't know if you guys saw, but I watched the game live. It was against Portland last Friday night. There were a ton of Raptor fans in Portland.
Yes.
And the Raptor players, like, let the fans into the tunnel after the game. Who does that? Like, what pro team does that? Nobody.
No.
Like, there were like 100 Raptor fans in the tunnel, and the Raptors were dancing with them. Like, they were all together. Like, it wasn't like, oh, you can take pictures of us. No, no. Like, they all started jumping and singing a song together and, like, filming it together. And, like, you ever seen Auston Matthews do that?
Honest to God, like, Dave, if I
was
going to
say,
guy,
sure, look at the Toronto, look at the Toronto Blue Jays. Same thing. Like, Guerrero is a very, their home run jacket. They're all like fired up and they're, oh, we love Toronto and the crowd. And this is like, they really like are like, they're easy to cheer for. Right. Like a guy like Vladimir Guerrero and the Blue Jays and their energy.
At least they're a funeral, Gabe, and everybody else is
a Raptor, same thing. Hell, even the Argos have energy.
Yeah.
But they kind of, they're kind of whatever. The fans don't respond to it there. But like the Leafs are just, it's their players, it's their character. They're never going to win. They're going to have to break it up. You're going to have to trade Auston Matthews. Thing is, don't screw it up and let, like, don't, like, let it get to, like, the last second and then lose them and not get anything like you did with Mitch Marner. Because you lost Mitch Marner, you never replaced him with another star player. So, you know, that's why I'm saying, like, if you get rid of Auston Matthews, you don't get, you know, you're not, like, rebuilding. You're basically, like, saying, like a good example, like, almost last year, you tried to do it with Marner, like Rantanen. Right, Rantanen was available. The Leafs tried to trade Mitch Marner for him, and Carolina accepted it. Right, Rantanen could have been a Leaf. Boom, but Mitch Marner shut the deal down. Right, he had no trade. He had control of it, so he shut the deal down and ends up leaving for Vegas, and you get nothing. So that's what you need to avoid with Auston Matthews. But I personally would trade him, but. I'm not saying tomorrow, but I'm saying I would start thinking about, yeah, he's not the guy, but we can get a star player back. An old school star for star deal, right? And I think you could pull that off moving forward. But let's get to the Super Bowl. Babano, your early Super Bowl thoughts and leans and or props.
Yeah, just, you know. Early, I don't know if I'm going to do anything besides this, but I already bet Seattle money line rather than the -4.5. I took that Sunday night at -225. You know, I just figured, I don't know if that price is going to get any better, and I could see it maybe getting worse a little bit before the start of the game, although it's been pretty stagnant. You know, it's been basically in that -220 to -235 money line range with the Seahawks, and in that 4.5 range with the point spread, although the total's taken some money to the under, because this was 46.5. I see 46.5 now with the total in this game. Probably some people thinking, hey, it's going to be pretty tough for Drake May and the Patriots against the Seahawks defense based on the way things went against Denver, and some thought that the Seahawks offense may not have the same success against New England that they did against, let's be honest, the Rams defense, guys, that didn't play well the last several weeks of the season. I think Seattle does win the game. There's one prop I've taken because I do think the number could move on this. I know at Bet365, it was 20 receiving yards -135 on this prop for Kenneth Walker. I think he clears 20 receiving yards. I think it's 20.5, 21.5, the current number. You know, I think Sam Darnold's going to get the ball in Kenneth Walker's hands in space quite a bit. We saw that against the Rams. The Patriots have obviously had a pretty good pass rush here in the postseason. So just the thought process of Walker getting receptions, getting the ball in space from a receiving standpoint made a lot of sense to me. So that's the one prop I really like early, Walker over receiving yards.
I agree with that pick. I think Walker will catch some passes out of the backfield. The Patriots are hard to run on. You know, a lot of people are going to be all over Walker props in this game, but I think Babano's approaching this better as opposed to his rushing yard prop to him catching some passes out of the backfield and his receiving yard prop. One thing I'll throw out there for a receiving yard prop, it's sort of all or nothing with him, but this is the Super Bowl. They traded for him. You figure they're going to get him the ball a couple of times, and that's Raheem Shaheed. His prop is 21.5 yards. 21.5 receiving.
Didn't
yards.
He get it with one catch last week?
Yes,
pretty sure.
Yeah, that was his only catch, though, Babano. Yeah. Like 1 for 51 type deal.
Yeah, that's what he does.
Like, yeah, like so, like they're going to. The thing is, though, with Shaheed, we'll dig into this more as the game approaches, but total yards for him, you know, they're going to hand the ball off to him once or twice. He's going to get a couple of touches. He could pop a punt return. That's another thing, too, if you're looking for that sort of outside-the-box MVP.
I did it, Gabe. I got 60. It's down to, like, 35.
Like, Shaheed could return something, and if it turns out to be a low-scoring game. But one thing we'll tell you, we like to give you notes on each day. Here's from a point spread perspective. Since 2003, Super Bowl favorites are 7-15 against the spread. Favorites of three or more are 2-9. Against the spread. Interesting dynamic there. It's funny because Super Bowls used to always kind of be blowouts, and one team would just sort of win convincingly. But in past years, like, these games have been getting a lot closer. Last year was a blowout, though. Last year, Philadelphia just sort of beat down Kansas City. Interesting storyline here a little bit. People have talked about this a bit, about the San Francisco 49ers. Right. And basically that the 49ers practice right next to, like, a nuclear power plant facility. And people are wondering if it causes the Niners to have as many injuries as they always have. Now, some people dismiss it. I saw Dr. David Chow saying that it actually helps you, that because you're getting these neutrons in your body and stuff, which sounded kind of crazy to me. Yeah. Like, the way he put it, Cam, was kind of like, oh, it makes you stronger. I'm like, yeah,
mutants, Gabe. We're turning mutants.
He's like, no, you're actually getting electrons or something because you're close. I'm like, I don't know about this. Like, I'm not going to question your doctor-ness, but, like, I haven't heard a lot of other people saying that. Like, you know what I mean?
I'm Wolverine now. Yeah, cool. So,
like, it's enough that the Niners have said they're looking into it. And it was enough that it's interesting that both the New England Patriots and the Seattle Seahawks were given the choice where to practice, and they both declined the San Francisco 49ers facility. It goes to show that they don't think that it's nothing. They point blank said no. And it's pretty wild. They'd rather practice at San Jose State.
Amazing.
The Seattle Seahawks headquarters is the San Jose Spartan football headquarters. So the Seattle Seahawks are actually staying in San Jose. They'll never see San Francisco. Like, this Super Bowl is so spread out. It's crazy. Like, Santa Clara is like 40 miles outside of San Francisco. Like, it's not.
Yeah, it's not like right next door. Absolutely, yeah.
No, it's not. It's a different city. It's like not like. You're out there by, you know, you got Santa Clara and Santa Clara University and Stanford University, and, like, you're at San Jose out there and stuff. Like, you're it's a different part of, like, it's a different area, right? So they're basically staying in San Jose, the Seattle Seahawks. They're going to practice at San Jose State University, and they're staying at the JW Marriott in San Jose. And, it's like a 10-15 minute drive for them. So they're close. The New England Patriots chose Stanford as their headquarters. So they're staying at the Marriott, a couple of minutes from Stanford's campus, the Santa Clara Marriott. And they're going to be practicing. I saw it's a 20-minute bus ride daily for them. So think about that. They're going to spend 40 minutes on buses alone going back and forth. Just to the practices, and, you know, they'll have police escorts and stuff like that. But and then the convention, the media center and all that is in San Francisco. Like, guys, I'll be in San Francisco. I won't see the stadium. Like, I'm not going to Santa Clara, Cam. Why would I go, like...
That's like, so people understand how spread out it is. It's like, everything's everywhere there. San Jose, Santa Clara.
I won't see the stadium. Like, no. I'll see the convention center in San Francisco, like, the media center where the end... Like, so it's kind of weird. Like, all the shows, like McAfee and Jim Rome and all the TV, all the shows you'll see on TV from the Super Bowl, they're all going to be in downtown San Francisco, but the game is actually 40 miles away, and the teams are, like, 40 miles away. So it's kind of bizarre. It's straight. That's the way it kind of normally is. Last year was really, really unique and cool last year. That's one thing I really, really liked about it. And for fans, I would highly recommend, like, if you're going to go to a Super Bowl in a town, New Orleans is cool. It's not a big city, New Orleans, right? So, like, basically, you don't have to spend $1 million on like Ubers and all that type of stuff. They've got streetcars there. It's not big. Like you literally could walk like around, but it's dangerous walking around too much there. But like you can walk like around, you can walk from place to place there. And what's really cool is the Super Bowl teams in Vegas, in New Orleans, they stay in Vegas. The same thing too. Vegas is cool. But like the in New Orleans was really cool. Like I've never seen that where the Chief players were staying on Canal Street. Like the Chief Hotel was basically with fans and stuff. Like you would see, it was epic. Like it was pretty cool. Like you would see every night, basically like at midnight or 11 o'clock at night, to be a bunch of wasted Chief fans and like football fans outside the hotel. And the Chief players would come out and take pictures and hang out with them and throw footballs around with them and stuff. Like it was really cool. I told you, I saw like, Kenny Pickett all the time, Cam. This kid's just sitting there alone and raising canes, eating chicken nuggets. I'm like, hey, Kenny, how you doing, buddy? Kid's walking around with a Philadelphia Eagles t-shirt on. Like, he looked like a fan. You'd figure, yeah, he's a fan. No, that's Kenny Pickett.
That's Kenny Pickett. Yeah,
yeah, and the other Eagles were in the casino all the time. It was funny. Like, like the Chief players, I noticed, though, I saw it firsthand. The Chief players partied more. They did. Like the Chiefs were seen more like, oh, yeah, the Chiefs were out at the casino at 2 a.m. last night type thing. Or I was like, yeah, I saw the Chiefs throwing footballs around with their fans at midnight last night outside the hotel. Like the Chiefs like were very casual last year and they got their ass handed to them.
Like,
the Eagles were more business. The Eagles like were like, yeah, they were in the casino, but they weren't drinking and they left at like 10 at night type thing. Like, the Eagle players were definitely more. I told you guys, I told everyone this last year before the game. I said I met them all. I don't always meet the players, right? I don't always go to that media thing. But, like, I went last year. So I actually met, like, pretty much all of them. And you could tell, like, I never forget. I told people the story. So I'll find out this year about it. But you can already know New England will be the more serious team there. Last year, though, like the Chief players at the media, like they were really into it. Like they were accessible. They were dancing around. They were like doing their own things. Like they were really acting like, it was just like a party or something. Like it wasn't the Super Bowl. And I looked over and I saw there was a group of like 25 Philadelphia Eagle players. And they were all in the corner staying away. They didn't want to talk to anybody. They were all just looking angry. And I was like, yeah, one team is here to win. The other team is here to like yeah. It helps to be around them, guys. You learn a lot. Like what you could do when you're around a player a couple of days for this stuff, you can really just sort of feel their energy. So I think the media day is on Monday night. So I'm only getting there Tuesday. So I'm not going to see it. I guess I could be around the players if I really, really wanted to. I've got a pass and stuff, but whatever. Like I said, I'm not spending like 4 hours a day like in traffic in San Francisco to go to some practice, Gabe, or something like that.
Babano brought up a prop and this one just pops out to me. And I just bet it now because I think it's going to go up. People talk about Walker. Babano and I had him over receptions last game too. He's been really, really solid lately. But George Halani's the backup. Do you know he had 3 catches for 27 yards last game? His total for receptions, yards, Gabe, 8.5. I smashed it.
8.5 over Halani. All right. Yeah. I don't.
The thing is,
that.
He's not a great running back. He ran 3 for 4 yards. So, but
he's
going to
be a catching
nine.
Back. Halani.
That's the thing.
Right.
He averaged 9. So he had three catches for 27, averaging 9 yards per reception. That's a low number at 8.5 on Bet365.
The New England Patriots. I talked about it, that the Patriots are only scoring 18 points a game in the playoffs. It's the lowest amount in the playoffs going into the Super Bowl since the 1979 Los Angeles Rams, who scored 15 points a game only and did lose the Super Bowl. But the Patriots have given up the least amount of points in 3 playoff games out of any team in the playoffs since the 2000 Baltimore Ravens. Right. So their defense is elite. But with that being stated, that total is light. And I'll throw a prop out here right now. We've talked about it already a bit, but this game is going to open up a bit. Right. Everyone thinks somehow the defense. It's the Super Bowl. There's going to be aggressive play calling. There's going to be like a turnover, a pick six, a scoop and score, or something like that. we've seen how aggressive Seattle are early in the playoffs here, right? They ambushed San Francisco early. They scored a touchdown within the first, like, minute against the Rams. Boom, 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 right down the field they scored. And I don't think people realize that because you don't trust Sam Darnold, it doesn't mean that they don't. Right. I think you're going to hear this a lot coming into the game. Well, you know, they have Sam Darnold. They're going to run the ball with Kenneth Walker a lot. You're a Seahawk fan, Cam. You've seen them, and I've seen every Seahawk game this year being here. They're going to throw the ball, bro. Big like, time. Yeah, they're going to run with Kenneth Walker, but they go 50-50, which is sad. And they do. Listen, during the regular season, they ran the ball the third most in the NFL. But if you look at the, what they do, it's actually literally 50-50, which makes it hard to defend. It's very Indiana-like in college football, but bad. It's what made Indiana hard to defend.
They're like, not scared to let Darnold throw it. And they're, what they not. Do is, they're not. They're not no. at all. We saw
they're
it last
They're going to attack
week.
With him. His prop Early is in the too game, light down at 227 and a half.
Right.
And so is Sam Darnold. So is Drake May at 222 and a half.
Look at the balance, Gabe. Other than Smith and Jigba, he had 10, right? So Walker had 4 catches, Kupp 4 catches, Helani 3 catches, Barner 2. It's one of those situations, right? Like Smith and Jigba's going to be
But one
the
thing
bell
I'll
cow.
Say, the real key, this is an X factor in this football game. And this is where you look at the props and somebody's got to step up. The Patriots secondary, it might be the best in the NFL.
It's good.
Like Christian Gonzalez is one of the best defensive backs in the NFL, point blank. Right. So, and there are other guys. I was looking at the grades of their DBs. Nobody is graded lower than a 20. Like, you basically, you're dealing with everybody is good. Like, every defensive back on the Patriots knows what he's doing. He's really good. And they're going to have Gonzalez on JSN. That's going to be a key matchup right there. Can JSN beat Gonzalez? Who wins that one-on-one battle, Cam? And also, your boy Kubiak can also do a good job, though, of moving JSN around and put him in a slot, put him on the edge, put him here, put him there, so Gonzalez isn't always on them. That's what they see. This is going to be the little football X and O thing. How do we get JSN in space away from Gonzalez? That's going to be a big key. But I do believe that Seattle will get a lead in this game, and it'll be like 20-10 or something, you know what I mean, like in the third quarter. And May is going to have to start throwing the ball. And Seattle's defense is good, but you saw Babano, the Rams threw the ball, right? You can throw the ball on Seattle. Henry's, I think if I was playing a prop here, we'll throw it out there. Henry for the Patriots.
Agreed.
Tight ends are key in these big games. Stephon Diggs is going to get his as well. Drake May over 222 and a half is just too light.
Yeah, that's noted. A good one.
Especially if he's playing from behind. You're going to get those yards.
Dude, he threw for like 260 against the Chargers. He didn't have to throw. He didn't have to throw.
Is he rushing yards over again like he did against Denver? Because he went way up.
I don't know, but that's pretty high at 38 and a half. I almost think it's a little high and trappish now.
Yeah. Like, can you bank on him getting 65 again? I don't think so.
What's Sam Darnold's rushing?
Probably 0.5.
Hey, he ran for 8 last week, didn't he?
Yeah. All it takes is one. Yep.
I'll get you his exact number in a second here, but I got a prop page open here. This one I'm going to play just because it caught my eye and it's going to bother me now if I don't put it in. Will there be a touchdown of 75 yards or more receiving to be scored at 33-1? At those odds, I mean, even $10, you make $330 bucks, like $20, right? This is one of these, somebody slips, somebody falls, maybe a screenplay, pops big somehow.
Big bomb to Shaheed.
Yeah, boom. I just said 33-1, it's worth a shot. Like I said, you put $10 on it, you're getting $340 back. But as far as, you know, listen, Sam Darnold, quarterbacks take off more in these Super Bowls. I'm just thinking with May, it's too high. Like, it's everybody's on it, and they think he's going to do it all the time. Let's see with Sam Darnold. Rush yards. I was going to look at longest rush. He's 5.5.
Oh, he had 9 rush yards last game. And I think he'll probably take off a few more times. It's a Super Bowl. You got to do whatever it takes.
Yeah. What if he takes a knee, though? That's the thing.
Yeah. That's the thing. If they're winning and you get 3 knee. Oh, no. That's the worst.
Let's see. Longest rush, Sam Darnold. 5.5. So it's basically one run.
Yeah.
There you go. One run. Ooh.
I was hoping for 3.
I don't know about you guys. I would go Kenneth Walker over 14.5 longest run.
Oh, big time.
In the last five games,
now
50,
as long
he
as
run
didn't
50,
hit against the Rams, but
no,
I wouldn't necessarily go away from
no,
it.
No, but the thing with him, Abano, is he doesn't really pop. He's not. He doesn't have a lot of those 70-yard, like, you know what I mean? The 55 is kind of a rarity. He's pretty consistent, though, on popping those, like, 14, 16
14 to 25, yeah.
Correct. Or
20, like, the moderate sort of, oh, hey, he's got a first down on that. He's picked up.
It is a lower
yards,
number than the longest rush prop for him against the Rams. So they've deflated it. They've lowered
yeah,
it.
Yeah, 14 and a half, I could see him popping a run for that number. Travion Henderson, 7.5, very tempting for longest rush over. Henderson only had 3 carries in the last game, but I think he'll be a bigger part of it this time. And his rush yard, his rushing attempts is 5.5. That's another one I like. I like Travion Henderson over 5.5 rush yard.
I like
attempts.
That a lot, actually.
All right, we'll wrap it up with some picks here. Babano, NBA, NHL, college basketball. You like anything tonight?
Let's give you something from each. College basketball, the easy choice for me, as far as the bet I like the most, is this Denver Pioneer. It's off the grid. It's Summit League basketball here.
17-2 to the over.
That's right. The Denver Pioneers, man. UMKC, they're playing the Kangaroos.
It's getting close,
tonight.
Though, Babano. Like, you know what? The one of them that went under the other day, went under by half a point. It was 159.5, but the odds makers have caught up. I mean, it used to be 148 and stuff. Now yeah. It's 159, 161 and stuff, but I'm on it tonight.
I'm on it, too. There was a couple games ago they went under, and then the game over the weekend, they played North Dakota. It went right back to flying way over again in that game on Saturday. So it's like still been great. It's 17-2 for the season. And that total got bet down from 167 to 161.5, and now it's starting to go up again. So, you know, I got it at the low point.
You know, another automatic over team is Miami, Ohio. They're 20-0, but their games just are track meets right now.
Another
as well.
One last night. Yeah,
yeah,
with
they
UMass.
Went over
100%. Yep. So I like that. I think I like Georgia too at a pick 'em against Tennessee. I don't trust Tennessee on the road. I know they beat Alabama on
I
the
like
road,
that
the
as
first
well.
Road win, but I don't trust them to win. Are they really? Is Rick Barnes in Tennessee really going to win 2 games in a row on the road in, you know, 5 days, 4 days, whatever it is? I don't think so. So I think Georgia at home is worth a look in that spot against Tennessee. NBA, there's a lot I like. I like San Antonio in a revenge spot against Houston. You know, they're only getting 2.5, 3, but they absolutely blew it against the Rockets just 8 days ago. They were up big. They led for 3.5 quarters, and Houston came all the way back and beat them 111-106. I think the Spurs get payback here tonight. So I took +3, 2.5 is still out there with San Antonio in that game. So that's probably my favorite NBA look. I would say NHL tonight. I could just give you the over in every game, but I could make a case for the over in every game. So what I would say is maybe look at a Grand Salami over tonight in the NHL. Colorado, Ottawa, 8-1-1 to the over the last 10 meetings with the Avs and the Sens. Reimer and Blackwood are the goalies. You got Merzlikins and a rusty Dan Vladar back from injury for Philadelphia in that Philly-Columbus game. And here's a stat for you guys. Off a game where the Flyers have scored just 1 goal or less, and of course, they're coming off the shutout loss to the Islanders. The next game, they've been 10-1 to the over, Philadelphia this season, when they've scored 1 or less in the previous game. So I do like the over in that Columbus game. The one I'm a little bit more on the fence with is the Battle of New York. 6.5 for an Islander game feels high, but it could still go over when you're talking Spencer Martin and David Riddick, who's actually lost 3 straight starts, hasn't been as sharp lately. So it could be a high-scoring night on the ice.
Cam, anything in the NHL you like tonight?
Yeah, I'm thinking about actually taking a look at the Islanders again. I don't like to lay 30 cents, but I just think they're a better team than the Rangers. Basketball, give me the Raptors against the New York Knicks, guys. And I'm thinking about taking Charlotte, even though they're 1.5, 2-point favorites on the road against Memphis. They're a team that
I do like Charlotte, Cam.
They're gritty
like
as hell. So yep. I'm going to take the Raptors, Hornets, and I'm looking at the Islanders game.
Big game for the Raptors. Speaking of revenge, they got beat up pretty good last time. By the Knicks. The Knicks have gotten the better of the Raptors as of late. Raptors playing great basketball right now. Big-time game for them. I'll post some picks on X, obviously. I do agree with Babano's Denver Pioneer look. I was also actually looking at the Georgia Bulldogs. I do think that the Toronto Raptors get it done tonight on the money line. They're -1.5, so I just play the money line in that spot. And as far as the NHL is concerned, we're going to hit these 1.5. We'll definitely play over 1.5 for the first period. Colorado Avalanche and the Ottawa Senators. Last night, I was up watching the tennis, and I bet the over games in the Musetti Djokovic match.
Yeah.
And it wasn't looking good because Musetti was kind of dominating him. And Joker started coming back a bit, but it was deceptive. It was only because Musetti couldn't move. And, you know, people often criticize tennis players for quitting and stuff, but no one wants to quit up 2-1 on Joker. Like, he was going to win. So, like, if you see all the Joker, if you didn't watch it, then you see all the Jokers in the semifinals, he wasn't going to win. And he admitted it after, in the interview after. He said, you know, sometimes this happens in tennis, but he goes, I was about to go home tonight. I wasn't going to win. And he goes, but it happened, and it is what it is. So, you know, Joker's advanced, but Sinner and Alcaraz are on their collision course to play for the championship in Sinner Australia.
-1450 versus the Joker. That's all you need to know.
Are we ever going to see a men's final ever again other than Sinner versus Alcaraz? I don't know at this point.
It's tough.
Yeah. Once we get through this, you figure about one of the Americans will get through. Taylor Fritz will break
through one of these guys.
I'm not saying they're going to win, right? I mean, American hasn't won in a hell of a long time, man. Yep. But American men since Andy Roddick. That's long. Think about that.
Yep.
Just hasn't been anybody. Jessica Pegula is knocking on the door. She's almost turning into the Bills. Like,
she's going to lose.
You got to give her credit, Pegula, in the sense that she used to just kind of be okay. You know, she was good. She was another player type thing, but like, she's really gotten good. Like, Pegula's good. She just can't get over the top. So, like, now she gets to these final fours and she's got to deal with like the elite of the elite of the elite. And Pegula's +175. I'd like to see her break through one of these times, but I said before the tournament started, I'm not like patting myself on the back for it. It hasn't happened yet, but it was chalk. Whatever. I said Sabalenka's going to win. Sabalenka's going to win the women's, and I thought Alcaraz would win the men's, but Sinner could win the men, Cam, right? Sinner or Alcaraz?
Oh, big time. Sinner. Like, think about Alcaraz, though. He gets up for Sinner, and it's one of those things, like you look at the line and you're thinking Sinner, but Alcaraz is a straight-up grinder, man. That'll be a classic match.
This is Sinner's course, though. This is his hardwood. This is his
he loves Aussie.
His surface. You know what I mean? He's good at this. So speaking of surfaces, too, we got the Farmers Insurance Open as well, Cam.
Good. I got picks.
Xander's a 14-1 favorite. Ludwig is 19-1. Cantlay 24-1, Cameron Young 27-1, Hideki 30-1. Who do you like in the Farmers?
Well, you got me a better odd on Cam Young, Gabe. I'm going to take the 27. I only got the 24. Jason Day, great track record here. The guy looks like 20 years younger. He's playing really, really good golf, multiple top fives in this tournament. Watch out for Wyndham Clark. He's starting to get back into form at 50-1. A real sleeper this week who finished second last year, Sam Stevens at 60-1, Gabe. And I got to give you one bomb, the movie, Poltergeist. Aldrich Potgieter, 200-1. He hits it a mile, and that's what you need to do at Torrey Pines. Can he putt? 200-1 is too good of a price. More picks with Morenci and Wetzel tonight on In Game Live.
Awesome stuff. Thank you very much, Babano and Cam Stewart. We'll have more Super Bowl facts. We'll get more back into the Super Bowl tomorrow, but we had quite a few props that we just shared on the show. Today, there are the exotics are starting to pop up right now. The national anthem and the Gatorade color and all that type of stuff. But we're going to attack the real props first.
Yes.
And the way I'm doing, I told you guys yesterday, look, Michigan money line, they survived against Nebraska. They were down. They actually came back.
That was a great game.
Nebraska cover. Michigan are 0-8 against the spread in their last eight games. They're just overvalued, Michigan, all the time. They just point blank are. And you thought that was a heavyweight showdown last night with Nebraska. Oh, boy, what a week for Michigan. Michigan go to East Lansing on Friday.
Ooh. On Fox. Gus Johnson special. Gus and Gus and Raftery for that game.
Yeah.
Big time.
Yeah, last week was Ohio State Babano versus Michigan on Fox. But when it comes to basketball, Michigan State and Michigan are the rival, not Ohio State. Yeah, I mean, it's always going to be the Ohio State thing, but like Michigan State and Michigan's one of the most heated rivalries in college. It bothers me more losing to them than Ohio State does, like just point blank.
Oh, yeah.
And now we're going in there on a Friday night. I'm curious. There's no line yet. What's your prediction for the line, Babano?
That's going to be interesting. I've probably got, and it's at East Lansing. I'd probably make it to Michigan State 2.5.
It won't be that. Michigan have been like 10.5-point favorites against everybody.
They're going to make Michigan that padded. Wow.
No, yeah. I think Michigan.
One.
Michigan minus 2, 2.5. I could be crazy, but I think that's what they're going to do. They're not going to go from like making, they did, guys, they just made Michigan a double-digit favorite against a 20-0 team. Was the first time.
And the public's been betting Michigan heavily, correct. Yeah.
Yeah. And people keep on thinking that Michigan are going to break through and blow someone out, right?
Yeah.
Like, but if you look, it's like Miami, Ohio. They haven't covered in a while either, suddenly. Right, yep. They're 21-0 and stuff, but they're over.
Last night
now.
Was now what 0-8 now ATS right for Michigan yeah. 8 straight.
Yeah, 8 straight for Michigan, but it's actually out of the last 9 now. It might even be 0-9. They're 8-1 though. Like they've only lost one of the games. They've been playing with fire, Michigan. It was a close game last night.
Oh yeah,
Michigan. I don't know. I'm a little bit disappointed in them in a sense that, and it's hard to criticize a 21-1 team. Right, but they're taking too many threes. Like, they have such a size advantage on everybody. Like, Michigan have 3 7-footers. Use them. Like, that was why you were killing teams early. Like, Michigan are sort of becoming like everybody else a little bit now. It's like, yeah, you know what? You're taking too many threes, man. Like, just pound it inside, pound it inside. I'd like to see them get back to that, and it's going to be a great test against the Michigan State Spartans, baby. Can't wait. College basketball is lit this year, and we have the Olympics around the corner.
Yes, we do.
As well, and in fact, I'm going to be joining Pat Mayo later today.
Yeah, I told him about your Italian bet. He's looking forward to more.
Yeah, I always join Mayo every summer and winter Olympics.
Yeah.
I always do a segment with. And the NCAA tournament too. Every Sunday night, the bracket is released. We do a live, whatever. It's like I go on with Mayo like once a year type of thing. And this is my yearly appearance. This time it's the Winter Olympics. I've got some picks lined up. I'm ready to go for the Winter Games. All right, thanks, Babano. Check out Babano and the Ice Guys talking hockey. Check out Cam on the grid tonight. He'll have some more golf picks on Sports Grid. With me and Scott Wetzel, we'll see you at 8 o'clock Eastern. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.